listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to talk a little bit about an NBC News Wall Street Journal poll that has, well, this is somewhat sobering. It records that 59% of Americans support allowing same-sex marriage. Now, the devil's always in the details with these polls. What question was actually being asked that's being reported as this lead? But that's, at least by some accounting, almost double the support. 30% reported support for allowing same-sex marriage back in 2004. How do we explain that? And we'll get into some of the numbers with Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse, founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of a recent column titled 10 Things to Think About When You're Watching 50 Shades of Grey. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hey, Todd. Thanks for having me on.
Jennifer, how do you explain this, that in the last 10 years, at least according to this Wall Street Journal article and the poll that they did with NBC News, support for allowing same-sex marriage has nearly doubled in the last decade?
Well, it's pretty easy to explain in one sense of the word, Todd, that the public opinion has been shamelessly manipulated over that period of time, in the sense that there's been a full court press by all of the elite organizations and institutions in society to promote genderless marriage, whether it's academia, law, politics, but most especially the news media and entertainment media. They all want it. All of those people think that gay marriage is the greatest thing since sliced bread. And so it's hardly surprising when those kinds of resources in the society are marshaled to one position and the opposite position is basically shut out of even having a voice. That's not too surprising.
What I'm curious about is, and it's carefully worded in the piece from the Wall Street Journal, which is Americans support allowing same-sex marriage. It hardly sounds like complete support for a positive support for same-sex marriage. It's more of a, and maybe I'm misreading it, a kind of laissez-faire support for same-sex marriage.
Yes.
Let them go ahead and do it.
Yes, and I think a lot of people have acquiesced in that way. You know, it's a kind of, oh, well, whatever, what harm can it do? So let's just allow it. There are two parts to that. There's one set of people who haven't thought about it very much and are kind of shrugging their shoulders saying, you know, there's a lot of noise going on about this. I want the noise to stop. So let's just give them what they want and talk about something else. On the other hand, there are people who may be answering that question, you know, who really think that there's no downside to it. And that letting people do what they want is always and everywhere the right thing to do in the absence of some overriding issue to the contrary. So again, it goes back to the fact that opposition to gay marriage has not been properly presented to the public, both because the elites have stomped it out and marginalized it, and because the few voices that do get through haven't necessarily talked about the best issues in the best way.
I'd like you to separate two things, if you would. One is the growing support that is reflected in this poll. But the other thing, Jennifer, is that someone might get the impression, well, that means that the advances that same-sex marriage has made state by state have come from kind of the grassroots of the electorate who've been changing their minds on this issue. How would you respond?
Well, that's not true. I mean, what's happened is that people have kind of given up fighting because the courts have taken over the discussion. So ever since 2013, when the Supreme Court came down with overturning the DOMA decision, the Defense of Marriage Act, and also allowed Prop 8 to stand, it made it look like there was nothing that the electorate could really do about it. And so it's been hard to galvanize voters, and even when voters were galvanized, even when you had states that had, you know, a very clear, very solid marriage amendment on their books, the courts have overturned it. So I think a lot of what you see is people just kind of, you know, kind of weary of the whole thing, that, you know, they're not going to let us have our say anyhow. So, you know, let's just stop banging our heads against the wall. I think there's a large element of that. in those numbers. But truthfully, those numbers don't worry me in a certain way, Todd, because there's nothing left for the voters to do. There's nothing left for public opinion to do. The Supreme Court's going to do whatever it's going to do, and I'm not optimistic that they're going to do anything that you or I would like. And the voters aren't going to have anything to do about it or say about it. And then what will happen is that this thing will be entrenched into society, and it will begin to take the toll that we've been talking about for, you know, for a few years now. You and I have been talking about this. And then maybe people will start to see that, well, wait a minute, this wasn't as harmless as we all thought. That was roughly the pattern with the pro-life movement as it developed after Roe v. Wade. And so a lot of that's going to have to be, a lot of those steps are going to be recreated, I'm guessing.
So what you're saying is it doesn't matter what the American public thinks about gay marriage now, because it's not in their hands anymore.
That's exactly right. At this point, that's exactly right. And, you know, which gives you the kind of sinking, cynical feeling that it never was in our hands, that unless we voted the right way, this is what was going to happen to us. And that's a pretty sickening feeling, actually, you know, that the elites in our culture are so committed to the sexual revolution that they would basically gut the democratic process or sidestep the democratic process in order to impose genderless marriage on the whole society. Most people, and part of that imposition, Todd, is to silence the opposition. So when you have people like Robert Oscar Lopez saying that being raised by a same-sex parent, same-sex couples was not really so great, when you have scholars like Mark Regnerus talking about the fallout that he's seen in the data, when you have people like me talking about how redefining marriage is going to redefine parenthood, you know, oddly enough, we don't get on MSNBC. Oddly enough, the New York Times isn't calling me. So I'm awful grateful that you let me talk to you, Todd.
Well, okay, a couple other things here. I note that at least the Wall Street Journal is reporting that the support that has been growing for allowing same-sex marriage has grown particularly among Hispanics, women, and people who lack college degrees, among other demographic groups. What do you make of that little teasing out of the data there?
You know, I'm not sure that I'd make too much out of it, but, you know, back in 2008 when we were working on Proposition 8, of course, Hispanics and African Americans were among the most reliable supporters of man-woman marriage. And so the people on the other side have gone in and started working on those people. And in some cases, they've worked on them in not too nice ways. I mean, you know, they're your home state of Illinois, for example. There's been an awful lot of pressure brought to bear on the African American pastorate. And, you know, it hasn't been a pretty thing. So I'm not entirely surprised by those numbers.
Republican support, at least those who I self-identify as Republicans, has gone from 27% 2 years ago to 40%. That's about a 30% jump in the number who would allow for same-sex marriage. What would you say to Republican leaders, candidates, our politicians who are serving us both in the state and at the national level who look at this, Republican leaders? Who say, well, look, the tide has turned. There's no sense in fighting this any longer. This is now, this is not going to help us advance our agenda in other respects, so it's time to give up.
Well, the reason they're saying that and the reason it's happened is because they never did fight it. You know, most of the Republican Party did not fight very hard in favor of natural marriage. I can tell you that from California. I can tell you that you know, in different states around the country, there's a movement within the Republican Party to remove both pro-life and pro-marriage from the platform, you know, state after state. This is going on. I can tell you that there are big, moneyed Republican donors who want to stop talking about all those issues. Now, why they want to stop it, you know, talking about all those issues, you know, I'll leave it to your imagination. But I'll just say this, Todd. The fact is that there have been wealthy people who have wanted the sexual revolution from the very beginning. There have always been a clique of wealthy people with lots of money who like sexual revolution. So this is the next step, so it doesn't surprise me that you've got millionaires and billionaires of both parties pumping money into it, which is not to say that every rich person wants it, but it is to say that there are a bunch of people with money who are doing a lot to manipulate the, you know, to tilt the scales in a certain way.
Before we let you go, how did your speaking engagements go last week with Lutherans in Indiana?
Oh, it was wonderful, Todd. It was a lot of fun. You know, we were there at Faith Lutheran Church in Columbus, Indiana, and then at I'm getting them backwards. Grace Lutheran Church in Bloomington and Faith Lutheran in Columbus, or I might have that backwards. But anyway, it was wonderful. The people were very, very warm to our message. And we introduced some new product lines, and that was all wonderful. And, you know, they were just very enthused for our message. That was great. And then, you'll be interested to know, I went off to the Cleveland Right to Life Conference, big convention. 1,600 people turned up in Cleveland for the Right to Life Convention. And usually those things are kind of Catholic gab fest, you know. But I had people coming up to me saying, oh, I heard you on Issues, et cetera. So that little corner of the world, at least, is becoming an interfaith movement for the life and marriage movements. I was just really happy about that.
Dr. Jennifer Oback-Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities. You can find out more about the Ruth Institute at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Jennifer, thanks for your time and safe travels.
Thanks very much.
When we come back from this break, we're going to spend some time with you, our listeners, via our Issues Etc. comment line. It's a line that we leave open for all of our listeners, but especially our beloved on-demand listeners, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. We'll go to the Issues Etc. comment line and respond to some of your comments right after this.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Thank you, Todd, and thanks for everything you do.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on the value of Issues, etc.
You've done so much to teach so many people about the depth of the gospel and to find joy in the Christian life and experience.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans. Issues, etc. Listen to what you want, when you want, at issuesetc.org.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Henderson, Nevada. Faith Lutheran, Orange City, Iowa. Bethany Lutheran, Fairview Heights, Illinois. Bethlehem Lutheran, North Zulch, Texas. Risen Christ Lutheran, Arvada, Colorado. Trinity Lutheran and Grace Lutheran, Wichita, Kansas. Emmanuel Lutheran, Perryville, Missouri. Risen Savior Lutheran, Basor, Kansas. St. John Lutheran, Champaign, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran, Auburn, Nebraska. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Columbia, South Carolina, Grace Lutheran, Elgin, Texas, Gethsemane Lutheran, Marion, Ohio, and St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes a congregational sponsor, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal.